You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario since 1922. You can find us on Instagram at CFRC Music. Coming up in the special community group takeover of our airwaves, we're chatting with folks from the Youth Diversion Program. Youth Diversion helps youth overcome challenges by providing prevention, intervention, and educational services that divert youth from risk and support their ability to thrive. The Youth Diversion Program is a charitable organization which has offered services to youth in the Kingston area since 1974. Today we're talking about ways you can support this nonprofit's work, and specifically about their one-on-one mentoring program, which matches adult volunteers with promising youth for a minimum period of 6 months. The youth and mentor will meet once a week for a minimum of 2 to 3 hours each time. Throughout the match, the understanding is that the youth will be committed to achieving their goals set by themselves and the program coordinator. Here with us to chat about Youth Diversion and spin some of their favorite songs are the program's executive director, Sean Quigley, and mentoring coordinator, Bailey Zettel. Welcome, Sean and Bailey, and thanks for taking over the airwaves here on CFRC today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, this is great. Thank you.
Great. So you reached out because you wanted to share some information about what you do. So can you tell the people a little bit about your group?
Sure. So Youth Diversion is an agency that works with youth at risk with the goal of helping young people overcome challenges. We support about 3,000 to 3,800 young people every year throughout the county, the Kingston, Frontenac, Lennox, and Addington, through our various programs and services. We're celebrating, well, we actually celebrated our 50th anniversary last year, so we did our 50th AGM this year. So
amazing.
A grassroots organization that's been around for 50 years helping at-risk youth, that says something.
Yeah, that's a lot of work. And Sean, how did you get involved?
Oh, wow. So I started in the agency in 1992 as a mentor volunteer,
right,
which is why we're here to chat. And then I joined the board of Youth Diversion, and then in 97 I got hired as the rebound coordinator, and then I've never left. Yeah, my background actually is in policing, and I walked into Youth Diversion one day and I haven't walked out yet.
And for people who don't know, what is your role with the organization?
So I'm the executive director.
Okay.
So it's my job to make sure that Bailey and the rest of her team has the funds and the volunteers necessary to do the wonderful work that they do.
And how large is Youth Diversion Group? Like, how big of an organization?
Yeah, we're about a staff of 19 with about 100 volunteers that come through our door every year that give us about 4,000 to 5,000 hours worth of volunteer support. We have a governance board of directors, so these are folks in the community that also have the same level of passion and commitment to children and youth that help guide the organization.
And Bailey, how did you get involved, and what is your job with Youth Diversion Group?
I was actually a volunteer mentor with Youth Diversion as well in 2021, and I've kind of worked in mentoring ever since. I found my way back to Youth Diversion in February of this year, and I'm really happy to be here.
We're happy to have you. Youth Diversion, that can encapsulate a lot of things. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the activities you do, some of the services that you offer to the community and to youth in particular?
Sure. I'll start off with the general, and then Bailey can talk specifically about mentoring. So our service offers a number of different opportunities for young people. So we sort of work on that spectrum of early intervention to more embedded type services. So we have our outreach service, which essentially allows that staff team to go anywhere throughout the community and work with and support disengaged, marginalized young people. We have our substance use and addiction service, which is really unique. So our Kairos service supports children and youth from 8 to 17. So we go actually down into the elementary system. So our team is actually embedded in all the high schools, and we have a staff that's also responsible for looking after all the elementary schools. We have a youth justice service. We're actually the longest continuing diversion program in the province since back in 1974. And so this allows police the opportunity to be proactive and refer young people to our pre-charge diversion program, or if they lay the charge through the court system, young people can access us through a post-charge diversion program. And the idea here is to support low-risk young people that are engaging in problematic behavior that, you know, we've criminalized, and provide them an opportunity to meet with victims and go through a restorative approach, and then a plan gets developed that they have to complete. We have our MEND team, which is a restorative approach within the school system. So we go into the schools and help students who are struggling with how they interact with each other and helping them sort of overcome those types of things. And then we have our Intersections program, which is an early intervention program designed specifically for police and child welfare staff to refer kids to us that don't meet their threshold. And so we can get involved sooner so that they don't end up in those streams. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we have our mentoring program, which Bailey will talk about in a second. And then we have a couple of other initiatives that are underway. Our Kids Can't Wait initiative, which is a fundraising event trying to support our prevention programs, because a lot of them are, well, most of them are not funded through government sources. And then, of course, our Empowering Young Minds, which is an initiative that's being led by Bailey and her mm-hmm. team when it comes to trying to engage our clients, you know, sort of between those hours of 2 and 7 p.m., which is the highest risk hours for young people.
Right.
And just kind of get them somewhere, whether it's with us or the Boys and Girls Club or other pro-social places, to try to keep them away from dangerous areas. And so that's us in a nutshell.
Amazing.
Hi, yeah. So I'm the mentoring coordinator with Youth Diversion. So my role is to train mentors, complete intakes for our mentees, and to facilitate and manage matches as well as our mentee wait list. So our mentorship program is pretty amazing. We pair youth that are ages 12 to 17 with a caring adult throughout their mentorship. It's a 6-month mentorship. They meet for 2 or 3 hours a week, and they work on a set of goals together that they set during their match meeting that are usually targeted at whatever the mentee needs to work on. So that could be things like trying to improve social anxiety, trying to improve a grade, or even just getting out of the house once a week.
Yeah, and Bailey, can you talk about how many mentees are you looking to get, or how many children are hoping to access this mentorship program?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have around 30 youth that are currently on our wait list. Those 30 boys specifically. We've been fortunate enough to have a lot of female mentors, female identifying mentors come through our doors to match up our girls. But unfortunately, we do have a surplus of young boys on our wait list that are waiting to be matched.
And are there specific skills? Like, are there requirements for a mentee, or is it just someone who wants to engage with youth?
Somebody that wants to engage with youth and to make a difference. Only requirements is, you know, they have to pass a CPIC and get some references, but really it can be anybody over the age of 18 that wants to make a difference in their community.
Great. And CPICs, I mean, they're pretty easy now.
Absolutely,
you just
yeah.
have to apply online. You don't even have to go anywhere to get them,
yes,
right?
As so. Well.
And when the volunteer is done and they're moving on, we will reimburse that cost of the CPIC because, okay. you know, we appreciate the efforts and the time that they put in. So just trying to give back to them.
Yeah.
We also will complete a mentor training with myself or my colleague, Caitlin.
Okay. So that's great to know. Yeah. So, you know, you don't have to come in with a lesson plan or plan of attack. You'll
Absolutely.
Be mentored to be a mentee.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah. The entire mentorship is supported. We provide like check-ins regularly. There is a log that's completed. I also provide an event calendar of things that are going on in the community that are low to no cost that matches can do together. We also have some really cool partnerships that I can touch on. So one of our partnerships is with the YMCA, and we are able to get our matches passes that allow the mentee to get in with a support person. So that would be the mentor for free, and they can access all of the facilities there. We also have a partnership with the Boiler Room, which is the rock climbing gym, where our matches can climb for free. Pretty amazing. As well as one with Joe's Music Mill, which is the music lending library, where our matches can rent out musical equipment if they want to. Set that as one of their goals in their mentorship.
Awesome. It sounds like obviously a really rewarding program for both people, a very like reciprocal
Absolutely, yeah.
relationship.
We definitely want everybody to get as much out of the program as possible. Our mentors, you know, they really get to see a different perspective of their community and in life in general. And they also kind of get that sense of accomplishment.
Well, just knowing that they're making a difference in the lives of these kids, because, you know, data and research will tell us that when we think about early childhood trauma, for example, or what we refer to as ACEs, adverse childhood experiences, one of the single leading mitigators to try to mitigate the impact of early childhood trauma is introducing a young person to a positive adult role model. But we know that the difference between a successful kid and an unsuccessful kid almost 50% of the time is having access to one positive adult role model. We also know if we want to, you know, prolong a young person's journey in substance use, introduce them to a positive adult role model. It is the closest thing we have to a magic bullet. And the only thing that stops us from ensuring that every kid in Youth Diversion has access to a positive adult role model is getting the volunteers.
Right.
And this is why we're here today. Queen students have historically always come through for us in volunteering, whether it was in our Rebound program or being part of some of the governance pieces of our agency, helping us with marketing and being, you know, I don't know the exact number, but I would think it's a high percentage of Queen students represent most of our mentors that come through our door. Mm. And we're in a real, I hesitate to say the word crisis. crisis, but we're getting there, especially for male role models. We have a lot of kids on our wait list that are just hoping that somebody is going to say, you know what, I want to spend some time with you, and I want to hear about your life, and I want to take you places that you haven't been before. You know, I want you to be able to experience some of the things that I was able to experience when I was a kid and I had a positive adult role model.
We also offer our volunteers volunteer hours or placement hours depending on their needs. We haven't been able to take more youth onto our wait list because we're at capacity for males at this time.
So, I mean, this is a campus and community radio station. Obviously, anyone can get involved, but it feels like for students, this could be really fulfilling, especially this time of year. Students can be feeling overwhelmed or they can feel like school is all-encompassing. Absolutely. So this can be an opportunity for them to get out, do something active, do something that has a positive impact both for them and for the person that they're mentoring.
Yeah, absolutely. I was a mentor while I was in university, and I found it to be super helpful just to get me to do something different.
Right.
So my mentees, her goals were to try to learn how to like write a book. So it was really fun getting to do something that was totally different than my major and do something a little bit different.
Right. And I think sometimes students tend to stick in the hub area and it's like, hey, get down by the water and go for a climb,
get to
the TED Center.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome. That's excellent. And you mentioned, Sean, that not everything is covered by government programming. So how do you get support, or how can the community support your organization and your initiative?
So, yeah, right now our agency is having to raise almost 30% of its overall budget as things could become more expensive and as, you know, traditional sources of revenue are not there as much as they used to be because we're dealing with more higher end crisis. So there's a lot of grant writing that we do. We have a donor stewardship committee. We also have a philanthropy advisory group. We have some external folks that help us with fundraising. We have some amazing people in the community that run third-party fundraising events. We have the Lobster Fest in May. There's the Kingston Roadrunners. There's a family that runs an event for us in memory of their son. And then, of course, we have some very amazing traditional donors that donate to the agency on a regular basis. But it's a lot of things like this, like getting the word out and talking to folks. And if folks are able to financially support us, they can reach out to me or go to our website at www.youthdiversion.org. And you can make a donation through that page.
Amazing. And I think like the diversity of the support that you're getting and the fact that people want to support you through fundraisers that they're doing speaks to the work that you're doing as well, which is...
For me, it's very uplifting. Here's another good example. Mayo Gelato is hosting an event right now for Youth Diversion. Now, I have to be very careful because I'm also a United Way funded agency.
Right.
And they have their event going on right now. We have to make sure that all of our attention is focused on that campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And Queens runs an amazing United Way campaign. It adds to the percentage of the dollars that the United Way is trying to raise. So Mayo Gelato is hosting an event from now until the end of October. You buy a specially made gelato and funds will go to Youth Diversion. But
the flavor is caramel apple.
Yes.
Very appropriate. And that's a great, great initiative and something simple that people can do too, right?
Yeah. And you know what? It's a really great way for the community to not only support us, but other agencies or lots of businesses are hosting things like that for our community partners. We're small enough that if you donate to one agency, you're essentially helping all of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you donate to the United Way, there's 54 agencies that you're helping there. If you donate to the Boys and Girls Club, you know, all of our kids are going over there as well, because that's one of the better pro-social places. If you donate to the Y, again, you know, these are places that our kids go and we encourage them to attend. Yes. So right now, our big push is volunteers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how can students get involved or community members in general? I know you've mentioned your website. Is there a specific place where they can go to apply to be part of this mentorship program?
There's a QR code on our website under volunteers.
Youthdiversion.org. And do you have social media as well?
We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter, because I refuse to call it X, as well as LinkedIn. And the social media sites are actively used. It's a really good way to learn about the impact and the story that Youth Diversion is trying to tell in the community and trying things like dispelling any myths and helping better educate the community around the trials and tribulations that are going on with young people. Because, you know, we have the data here that suggests that things aren't getting better, that things are actually getting to a very critical point in our community. And I think if we really want to be able to move the needle, this is the program to be doing that with, mentoring. I mean, we can spend a dollar a day, because that's the cost of the agency. It's a dollar a day to work with the 3,800 kids. Or, you know, the alternative is that these young people continue to suffer, continue to experience tremendous trauma because we're not getting to them soon enough.
Right.
So that prevention piece is so critical, but it tends to be the last thing that ever gets funded. It's hard to demonstrate the impact of prevention until you take it away.
Yeah, demonstrating what doesn't happen.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
What would a typical mentorship look like in terms of weekly or monthly or daily commitment?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a 6-month commitment. So over a period of 6 months, the mentor and the mentee will meet once a week for 2 or 3 hours. Sometimes we can be flexible, you know, if you can't meet for 2 or 3 hours a week, but they can meet twice a week for an hour, that's also okay. So it's really manageable. I know students are also often, you know, away for reading week and stuff like that. Whenever those things come up, we're always happy to kind of add the hours on to the week before or the week after, just trying to make it up along the way, as long as that relationship is being formed. Mm-hmm. One other thing I wanted to mention is I know it can seem intimidating to work with at-risk youth, but most of these kids just want to do something fun outside of their norms. So we'll always make sure that you're paired with a child that is appropriate and that somebody that you have the skills to work with.
I mean, 2 to 3 hours, that's doom scrolling or watching a movie, right?
Exactly. You know? Yeah.
Doom scrolling. That's good. Okay.
That sounds like a much more fulfilling use of a couple of hours a week.
Well, and you know what? It's not rocket science. Yeah. I remember one young lady had the opportunity to go out to Little Cataraqui Conservation Area and just walked around the trails.
Yeah.
And afterwards, she looked at her mentor and went, "This has been the best day of my life. I've never been out here." She's 5 minutes away from Little Cataraqui Conservation Area. Never been out. So you don't have to invent something that's going to be earth-shattering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take a kid down to the water. Take a kid to the library. Take a kid to the... Queens has a rock museum. I took my kid to the rock museum one time, you know, like, go and check out stones. Like, the kids, they're really needing this, and they don't need somebody that has letters behind their name. They don't need somebody that's in fourth year sociology. If you are, great. They just need somebody that's going to listen to them, validate them, laugh with them, cry with them, show them some new skills, and then have the kids show you some new skills. One thing we should mention, though, it is a 6-month match, so it's a fairly short term. So for Queen students that are coming in September, your match is done in April. So it's perfect within your time frame that's here. And if you want to continue with your mentee, which most mentors do, we have the capacity to help that.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Yeah. Thank you so much. Is there anything else you want to add? Anything you want to mention? I know you've mentioned you have a couple of events that happen throughout the year. Do you have like a mailing list, or should people just keep an eye on your social media to find out about those events?
Yeah, I think it's just keep an eye on our social media. Right now we're in the midst of the United Way campaign, so we're doing our best to try to support that movement.
Yep.
And then December 2nd is Giving Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And then last year we had the pleasure of working with the Kingston Laser Clinic, and they sponsored our Christmas hamper, because most kids the age that we work with, 12 to 17, tend to be forgotten.
Right.
So that event is coming up soon. And so anybody that's interested, not necessarily even with mentoring, we have other opportunities, but mentoring is where we need the volunteers right now.
Anything else for you, Bailey?
I would just like to say, you know, mentoring is an incredibly rewarding experience, and I really hope to hear from some of you guys and see you soon.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Sean and Bailey, for joining us today. This is the Youth Diversion Group. You can find them at youthdiversion.org or on social media. Currently looking for mentors, especially for male youth, but there's other volunteer opportunities and other ways you can give. So please check them out and support this organization. And thank you very much for coming to see us.
This was awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Interested in organizing your own takeover with CFRC? Sign up now to take over CFRC's airwaves for free. CFRC 101.9 FM invites all Queen's University student groups, clubs, and Kingston community organizations to take over our airwaves. Join us on air for an hour to talk about your student group or community organization, and also present your own playlist of fun music chosen by your team. This is a great opportunity to talk about what your group does, how others can get involved or provide support, any big events your group has coming up, and how to keep up with the latest news about your group. You can apply by visiting cfrc.ca/contact and selecting Apply for a Club Community Takeover. This free opportunity is made possible through the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Radio Meters program.